Beavers used to be common in what became the United States. Yet after hundreds of years of intensive trapping by European colonizers, beavers are much less common in American landscapes. A new bill has been proposed for Oregon's legislature, allowing them to return in greater numbers. My name is Nick Campilli, and for the next 15 minutes, I will be speaking with Suzanne Foudy about House Bill 2843 and its importance to the state of Oregon. Suzanne is a retired hydrologist from the U.S. Forestry Service. She received her PhD from the University of Oregon and has spent over 30 years working on water-related issues in the West. She's a co-author for the new bill. Currently, House Bill 2843 is waiting to be scheduled for a hearing and work session by the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. So, you've been interested in water issues in the West for the last 30 years. How are beavers relevant to those studies?
Beavers, when the Europeans arrived, were in the millions. And they influenced every single stream that was out there. And in those streams, they were rich with tons of salmon and wildlife. And they created a very critical mix of habitat types that were actually really resilient to climate variations. So when we took those beavers out, what happened is that the dams began to fall apart, the channels deepened, they widened, and a whole bunch of things began to happen. Water tables dropped. And then on top of that, we have livestock grazing shows up and logging and building of cities and towns and roads. And all of those things sort of set streams on a second path of change. And so the streams we know today are incredibly altered.
Oregon is known as the Beaver State. What role do they play in our environment here in Oregon, and why are they so important?
Right now, what we have is a lot of streams that have stream temperatures that are too high. We have streams that do not have appropriate salmon habitat. We have fish and wildlife habitat that is becoming increasingly fragmented and of poor quality. We have water conflicts rising between farmers and tribes. We have cities worried about whether or not in a drought, they're going to have enough drinking water. We have farmers and ranchers who are worried about enough water for their ranches and for their farms. And we have a landscape that is becoming increasingly more fire prone. So what beavers do as they build these dams on streams that are of the right size to build dams, because the dams are the critical feature we're looking for. They create ponds, and those ponds set in motion the ability to have these amazing wetlands. They increase the groundwater stored, they increase surface water, they create complicated riparian habitat in stream and on the valley bottoms. And so when you get a wildfire and the fire meets the beaver dam or the pond or the wetland, all of a sudden water meets fire. And we know how that plays out. Having a beaver wetland or beaver pond, big area, is probably going to make the difference between whether you survive that wildfire or you basically end up as charred flesh. I mean, it's that simple. You are concerned about salmon runs. Beaver habitat is so critical. The habitat that they built is so essential that if you don't have them, you pretty much are saying it's okay if salmon go extinct.
You're advocating for the state legislature to pass House Bill 2843. Why is it important Oregon passes the bill?
Right now, we have a lot of streams in Oregon on federally managed public lands, which is where the bill is focused. And it's focused on federally managed public lands for a couple of really key reasons. They're the size of streams that beavers can build dams on. And the dam building is a critical component of what we're looking for because it sets everything else in motion as far as habitat recovery. We have a lot of streams on federally managed public lands that are in a damaged state. Stream temperatures are too high. Meadows have converted to dry landscapes. We have lost complicated in-channel habitat, the riparian zones are gone or they're very narrow. And so in order to restore this, we have to restore beavers because beavers are basically going to be able to build the dams and set in motion all the stream processes that are needed in order to begin to raise the water tables, create wetlands, complicated in-stream habitats that are better for fish, create this really diverse habitat for migratory birds and all kinds of amphibians and reptiles and insects. You can't do it without beavers. You just can't. You need something out there that's going to be out there 24/7, paying attention to the infrastructure, fixing those dams if they get knocked out or damaged by a storm, and maintaining that. You need that on the landscape. And you need it across the landscape. So right now, Oregon has over 23,000 miles of stream that are too warm. That's 23,000 miles of stream in these headwater streams. So imagine what it means if you can get beavers back in, building dams on streams they can, what that means for things like water quality. Right now, beavers can die for a lot of different reasons. They can die from disease. They can die from illegal trapping and hunting. They can die because a tree falls on them. They also die because of legal trapping and hunting. And that is the only cause of death we control. So you can trap and hunt beavers under the current fur bear regulations from ODF&W from November 15th to March 15th. That is also the breeding season and the pregnancy season. So you can do that. And that's the only one we can control. It turns out that there are studies out there that show if you stop trapping and you give beaver the chance to raise family members, those family members go off and build dams, that you will see beaver dams begin to expand. And as the beaver dams expand, the ponds do, and the wetlands do, and all the habitat does. So it's an attempt to provide protection for beaver on public lands that are the source of our water and have places where you can get this massive improvement in fish and wildlife habitat. If Oregon wants those things, water quality, good fish and wildlife habitat, salmon runs, recovering, then it has to have beavers.
And you've mentioned the effects that passing the bill will have on Oregon's environment. How will House Bill 2843 affect Oregonians?
So it really depends on whether you trap beavers or whether you don't. And it really depends on whether or not you drink water or you don't. So if you trap beavers right now or hunt beavers under the regulations, it is a restriction. You don't get to do that anymore on federally managed public lands. You can still do it on state public lands, and you can still do it on private lands with permission, but you can't do it on federally managed public lands. So right now there are less than 170 people in the entire state that trap and hunt beavers, and the state has over 4.2 million people. So that's the number of people that would no longer be able to do it. So if you are someone, however, who likes to drink water, if you value fish and wildlife habitat, if you're worried about climate change, if you care about salmon runs and really want recovery, if you want to begin to fireproof or alter your landscape so they better deal with fire, if you're worried about making sure farmers and ranchers and cities and towns have water, then it's a huge benefit. And it's a benefit in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So even those individuals who will no longer be able to trap and hunt beavers on federally managed public lands actually stand to benefit enormously.
I don't know if you're the right person to ask this, Suzanne, but it's been mentioned that the bill will help Oregon fulfill its moral and ethical obligations to Oregon's tribes. How does that play in?
Okay, so I am not going to speak for the tribes, but I'm going to speak from the perspective of someone who recognizes that salmon are really important culturally and spiritually to tribal nations, and that salmon are one of their first foods. So from that perspective, that's what I'm going to talk about. When something is that important, you take it seriously. And then I'm going to speak to it from the perspective of being a scientist. So salmon are really important to the tribal nations, spiritually, culturally, and as a first food. Salmon runs, we have 11 stocks that are on the endangered species list. If we want those salmon runs to improve, we have to improve their habitat along the entire length of their life cycle. Beaver dams have been identified as a critical habitat for juvenile coho winter rearing. And the number of ponds, because the number of beaver dams aren't very many, what we have is really limited habitat. So if your juveniles are scrambling, you know, there's just not that much habitat to start with, and that habitat continues to fail, what you have is very limited survival at the beginning stage. If you continue to allow people to trap and hunt beavers, that means that the beavers leave, the dams are left, and they begin to fall apart. When the dams fail, the ponds drain, and the habitat goes away. And so if we are serious and really committed to restoring salmon runs, which is what the Endangered Species Act says we're supposed to be doing, then you have to restore the habitat. You have to protect the habitat. And the habitat for salmon can only be improved and protected if you have a keystone species creating that habitat and maintaining it. So it really boils down to, you can talk about restoring salmon, but if you don't restore the process and the species that we need to help that habitat be recovered, then you're not serious. And so now as I look at salmon and salmon recovery, I feel a lot stronger that this isn't just about the science or the economics. It's about whether or not we honor our commitment to others. And Oregon has laws on the books. It has a lot it has to compensate for. It has a lot to acknowledge and to respond to. And this is a way to say to the tribes, we're serious. We screwed up totally, but we are committed to restoring salmon because it's important to you, because it's important to us, because it's important to countless species.
And you mentioned in our pre-interview correspondence that the bill was facing resistance from Oregon's House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. What is its status right now?
Its status right now is it's waiting to get a hearing, to be scheduled for a hearing, and to be scheduled for a work session. If it isn't scheduled for a hearing and work session by March 19th, the bill dies. It's done. All the benefits that come with it, they're done. There will be no salmon recovery this year. There will be no action that drives salmon recovery. There will be no action that begins to prepare Oregon for wildfire on its landscapes. There will be no action that prepares, that improves streams so drought conditions can be mitigated because stream flows are better. There will be nothing. So right now, the bill is in limbo. By next Friday, it either is scheduled for a hearing and a work session, or it's dead.
And who decides to give the bill a hearing or let it die in committee?
The decision whether or not a bill gets a hearing and is scheduled for a work session rests with the chair of the committee. Right now, House Bill 2843 is in the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, and that is chaired by Representative Brad Witt. He decides who gets a hearing and gets scheduled and who does not. And so he's kind of the man of the hour right now. He has a huge ability to make change in terms of Oregon's future. And that's really where we're at. Either he's going to schedule it for a hearing and a work session, and Oregon has a chance of now discussing this bill and potentially actually moving salmon runs and habitat and water issues to the forefront, or he's going to let it die. And that means that those 170 people that trap beaver for fun and a little bit of money will continue to be able to do that. And Oregon will lose hundreds of millions of dollars benefits and services that it desperately needs. And Oregon will continue to play games as it comes to play salmon recovery. So we'll know on March 19th whether or not we have a bill that's been scheduled for hearing and is got a work session, or we're going to know on March 19th if Oregon has just missed another opportunity. And I don't know about you and your listeners, but with climate change, we're running out of opportunities.
And if listeners are interested in learning more about House Bill 2843 and its potential for environmental restoration, what is the best way for them to find out more?
So I would direct them to two different places. The idea of getting a handle on how exciting beaver are and just what they can do, one could go to the Beaver Coalition. It's a new nonprofit, and it is all about information. Information about what beavers do, information about how to solve potential conflicts. It's about helping Oregonians come to know their state beaver. If you're looking for information on the bill, then I would direct you to a couple of websites for a couple of organizations that have come out in support of the bill. The Wetland Conservancy, BARC, Oregon Natural Desert Association. There's 35 groups that have come on, and they range from climate groups to salmon groups to Audubon's to Water Watch. Those groups, Wetland Conservancy, BARC, and Oregon Natural Desert Association websites will have information. And if you're just strictly interested in information, you could still go to those websites, but I would direct you to the Beaver Coalition.
And do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? Anything we haven't mentioned yet?
I guess what I would just want to say is sometimes opportunities come along, and this is a citizen-led effort. This is citizens saying, we've got to do something, and we can do something right now at a time when the budget's crashing. We've just come through COVID. Streams are not doing well. Our salmon are dying, and people just don't feel hope. So we are really at a crossroads. A lot of effort's gone into this bill. The science is rock solid. The economics is rock solid. The need is essential, and our responsibility to restoring tribes is without question. It's really about what Representative Brad Witt will choose to do. And then if we get a hearing and a work session, it's about what the state legislature is going to try to do. And that is going to determine Oregon's future.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Suzanne. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Nick.